You're listening to the So You Can Relate podcast.
We back.
Tell me better.
We can't even have the audacity to say Happy New Year. How dare we?
How dare we even think of that? Sorry, this leaf is hitting my head.
It's literally attacking her.
Not the plants. Okay, that's better.
Hi guys. We are excited to be back.
We are. Welcome back to our podcast.
Yes.
So you can relate.
Woo woo.
Come on.
So
it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
Do they know it's been a while though?
Yeah, come on. our real listeners, they know it's been a while.
Yeah, you guys know. Should we apologize?
We should apologize. I always feel better when my faves apologize to me.
Yeah, so we are sorry. We're sorry for the if we are your faves anyway, I like to believe that we are. But yeah, we have been, dare I say, inconsistent to some degree.
Yeah.
But we're back and we're better. And it's the new year. Well, it's basically end of the new year, end of the first month of the new year.
But we're back.
We're still back. That's what matters. And we just wanted to do a catch-up episode, kind of update you guys on our lives and how things have been going since we didn't have any guests, because it's been an influx of guests.
We said to God, bring other harvest, and he said, are you ready for it?
He said, running over. Running over.
Exactly. But yeah, how have things been going at Defla? Have you been?
Such a generic question though, isn't it? Like, I think, so this is a bit of a tangent, but I remember this one time I was watching these BuzzFeed videos when I was younger. And this one was about dating, and she was like, when you're trying to get to know somebody, ask them about their family, occupation, recreation, and dreams, basically. Mm-hmm. So now when someone asks me how you're doing, I try to just kind of give them those four categories.
Yeah.
Because if not, I'll be bouncing off the walls in terms of like just telling people what's been going on. My family is fine and they're alive, so we thank God. Amen. That's out the way. I'm living with my family again. I moved back home a couple of weeks ago. It's different. I feel like it's different. It's kind of different for me moving back home after living where I was living for the past 9 months in comparison to how it was when I was living at university. Because university was like a sheltered adult life. You had a schedule, like you were around your friends and that.
Yeah.
But living like in a house share and working and studying was so much more different. But I have, I have never learned so much in such a small time frame ever in so many, if not all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. I've just learned so much more than I anticipated when I first moved there. So for that to come to a close was very like dramatic for me, very, very like, oh, I was in my feelings basically for the last 2 months that I was gonna leave. I was thinking about so much, but I'm back home and I'm just grateful to be around my family, save money on like buying food and that, you know, just kind of be around people obviously that I love more than I was for the past 9 months. That's family. Occupation wise, I have a job. We thank God that I still have a job.
Yes.
My current job ends soon. So I've just been doing like job interviews and applications. We were saying earlier that it can be so disheartening sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so mind-numbing to do all of these interviews and just basically sell yourself to all of these employers.
Again and again and
like literally just tap dancing for them. Oh, look at the skills. I have these skills. This is the platform I need for the next step in my career.
Like, yeah.
It's very... mentally tasking, you know, and it's very hard to not take rejections personal because it's literally about you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And one of my friends was like, it's not necessarily that you're not the best candidate, it's just that somebody was better than you. And I was like, I don't know if that makes you
even worse.
It's even worse, isn't it? Because you really like put your foot in that application.
Yeah.
You read it multiple times. Sometimes you send it to somebody and say, oh, give me feedback. And they're like, okay, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still don't get it. That can be really disheartening. So I've got interviews coming up this week. I hope they go well. Fingers crossed, praise to God, all of that. I don't know, I just need to get a new job after this one. Anyone should just take me.
Yeah,
that's occupation. Recreation, I mean, it's all over the place really in terms of like, I don't know about you, but I know you're doing like a social media fast right now, though. I guess we'll get that in a bit, but it just doesn't hit like it used to.
What, social media?
Yeah, I mean, really? It hasn't hit for a very long time.
Okay,
everyone knows Instagram is dry. Like, please, I don't know. I don't like Instagram too much. Twitter is okay. TikTok is like, it's so funny, but sometimes I just feel like I'm laughing too
much.
You
don't want to laugh anymore. I'm tired of laughing. I need a break from laughing.
It's like I've been laughing for so long. I'm even tired of laughing. Yeah. YouTube videos, I hardly watch those. I've got like 700 videos on my watch later.
Oh, wow.
And what? I've been stacking them up for like 3 years now. Like, I just keep adding to watch later. I add to watch later more than I watch videos. So yeah, occupation, I just feel like I need something new, something interesting to like kind of get my hands into and to bring me joy outside of looking at a screen. I want to do something with my hands. I want to create something and like be, dare I say, artistic. Even though I'm not the best at like art and drawing, I would love to see what I can create that doesn't involve me staring at something and taking in.
Yeah, so I feel like naturally you're not the type of person who enjoys like lapping up so much content like through social media and YouTube. So I love it, right? So for me, like even going into the social media fast and all of that, it's been a weird one. So I knew it was going to be hard because I really like social media. I'm on it literally every day and I miss TikTok more than anything else. Like,
I'm obsessed
with that app. Like it's so funny and I just love it. Like if I'm bored or whatever, I'll just go on it. But yeah, when did I decide I'm going on the social media fast? I feel like, in December I was like, I need a break because I hadn't taken a break since like December 2019. So I was like, you know what? It's going to be a new year. And I feel like this year I want to really grow in discipline. So I was like, you know what? Let me just start off with a break off of social media. In some ways it's been a bit better than I thought it would. Like, I had exams. So guys, I just came out of what I like to call academic warfare.
Oh my goodness.
That is what it is. We were fighting for our lives.
That was too much.
I had 8 exams to bring your guys up to speed. I'm currently at law school doing the LPC. So it was a lot. And to all the listeners out there that have ever done the LPC, to all the solicitors out there, I salute you because the things that people go through, like by the time you see them in those positions and you're like, oh, I wish, or oh my God, wouldn't it be cool? Think twice because there's a lot like that you have to go through. And even like God's been speaking to me a lot about process and going on process, and process sometimes has a bit of suffering in there. Yeah, but let me not preach right now. Do you know what I mean? Let's take us back to the social media fast. So because I've had so much revision to do, it's like I just substituted that time to revise, which has kind of been good. Okay, so I didn't feel like I was missing out so much because I had so much work to do anyway. But now that I've come out of exams, I've got my last week. That's going to be the real test.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of more free time and all of that. But my prayer is that I substitute that with just praying and seeking the face of God, you know, as you should.
Yeah, as you should.
But then at the same time, it's made me realize that social media is really not real life. And obviously we all know this, but when you get a chance to center yourself and just live your real life, like I enjoy seeing other people's stories and stuff, but we're just so invested in so many people's lives. It's ridiculous. Like, you know about what's happening in the USA and this country, that country. And yeah, obviously we know there's positives to that, but then sometimes it's like, oh my God, I'm taking in too much information. Like even with Twitter, the amount of opinions you're taking in, you can't even form your own. You cannot form your own opinion because you're thinking, well, what she said was really good and what he said was quite insightful. And some people might be listening to this and think, oh, I'm just not someone who takes people's opinions into account. But I think after a while, when you're listening to so many opinions, it is going to inform the type of opinion you come up with. So yeah, you know, I've enjoyed spending time off. I'm looking forward to getting back to TikTok especially. But yeah, it has been good to just take a break. 100%.
Are you calling it like a fast explicitly, or is it just like a break?
So obviously, because I'm doing like a fast in general, it's just incorporated into the fast I'm doing. So it is like a...
It's interesting that you call it that though, because I remember I do them quite often, like these social media breaks. Yeah. And my last one was a gospel fast back in November. I needed that for anything.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I really needed it. I did another one like February of last year too. But what I realized, February of last year was probably the maddest one that I did because it was still lockdown. I stopped secular music. I didn't watch TV. I didn't watch YouTube videos.
Wow.
I didn't.
For a month?
Yeah. I didn't go on social media either. I was just reading.
Oh my God. That one is a serious one.
I was reading books. I was reading 2 books. I was reading Natives by Akala.
Okay.
And I was also reading something with my little book club that I had. It's like a fictional book. And I was like alternating both of them. And sometimes I'd read it on my laptop or I'd read it on my Kindle, you know, to spice things up a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the first few weeks, it was so hard because not only was it a lockdown, so you're going to be in your head anyway about like life and the end of the world, but I realized just how empty I was. I was so empty. Yeah. There was nothing to me. Even the things that I was doing, like a random article that I'd write here or there, or even like the podcast, it was like, those are things that I'm doing, but there was, it felt like there was nothing inside of me.
Okay.
Sometimes reading can get a bit tiring and boring. So you finish reading, you've eaten, you've gone on your daily walk.
Yeah, yeah.
I was literally lying down on the bed and looking at the ceiling. There was nothing else for me to do. And that's when I realized that was the majority of who I was, or who I am, even some days, because I, you know, it takes a long time to grow and change as a person. Realizing that all of these things, TV, music, social media, blah blah blah, is just like filling up voids in your life.
Yeah,
it was quite a scary experience.
And a lot of that is distracting you from thinking. Do you ever do you ever get a thought and think, Joyce, like, you need to sit down and think?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you have these questions and you're kind of not sure where you want to go in life, and you feel like you have a lack of vision, and even like, I've been praying to God a lot about vision and direction. I'm feeling like I need to sit down and actually think.
Yeah.
Because, and someone would say, sit down and pray. Pray, think, you catch my drift. Yeah. But to think and literally just be, like, we just distract ourselves so much with, oh, let me do this, let me do that, let me. And we're not anti-social media, guys, don't get us wrong. Yeah, we love it. We love a bit of social media. Obviously, it's fun, TV shows, all of that. But I think, yeah, definitely reducing it in moderation. And even when you were saying about the cutting out secular music for a month, out of all the things, so I've cut out so many things for Jan, but I feel like the secular music has been the hardest for me.
Oh,
which is
are you doing
crazy.
Gospel fast as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That has been
yeah, it can be hard.
Because it's not because my I love gospel music, and I'm exposed to a lot of different types. So Afrobeat gospel, worship, what's that thing called? Contemporary. CCM.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the, like, it's not even that. South African gospel I love. But yeah, I don't know. That was the hardest for me. I always felt like drawn to just listen to, like, some Afrobeats or some I Love Me R&B and Slow Jams and all of that. So not to be able to listen to that is
painful.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. There's a song I love by, I think her name is Tamia. It's called...
70.
No, not 70.
The second one that I know anyway.
How can I not know my favorite song? Let me find it. 2 seconds. It is called... Officially Missing You.
Oh, even the title.
Do you know it?
I don't. I'm thinking about how it could sound.
Officially Missing You. Okay. It relates to nothing in my life yet, but do you know, like, when you listen to a song and you're like, oh, this song is so nice.
Beautiful.
I found it last year and I've just always had it on repeat. Obviously, Lauryn Hill, my fave, all of that. So yeah, I think it's been, yeah, that's probably been the hardest for me, because I consume a lot of music, like when I'm traveling, when I'm just at home, like I listen to music all the time. But
Have you found it like a chance to explore new gospel music and just find new songs?
Yeah, 100%. I think I found a lot more gospel songs, and not like necessarily worship songs, but just like every day I'm on the go. I've been listening to a lot more Mary. I love them because I feel like they're like the go-between. So I've been getting back in my Mary bag.
I feel like, this is the thing, because it's so hard, that's how you know you need to work on it. Like, you don't want to not be able to survive only on gospel music or only in music that glorifies God. I know some Christians will go way back saying, you know, music was made to be glorified by God. To glorify God. The only reason why we have secular is because Lucifer came, he fell down, he was the minister of music, you know, all of that stuff there, which I do kind of get. But I feel like above that, it's like you want to be able to be okay with, dare I say, just God, because God isn't a just, God is everything anyways. So if you feel like you need other kinds of music in addition to music that glorifies God, and you obviously you believe in God and he governs your life and stuff, then anyway, it is something for you to really work on.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%, because I didn't think I would find it as like, I didn't think I would have this desire to like play other types of music as much as I have. Like, I've had to stop myself and be like, Joyce, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, there have been times where, like, I don't know, it was my sister's birthday the other day, like music that wasn't gospel. And I really enjoyed it. I used to like that time.
I took advantage of it.
I said, okay, today. But yeah, no, it is weird, like, the things that you will find trickier than others. But it's been nice, and yeah, I've enjoyed it so far.
I think I said this to you back in November when I was doing the fast as well. Because there was a lot of like just unpleasant things happening in my life in November, or like let's say end of October. So I remember November started on a Monday too. Mm-hmm. So it just felt right. I was like, yeah, never yeah. first Monday I'm going to start this fast or whatever. And prior to that, I was listening to a lot of Lauryn Hill's MTV Unplugged album.
I love it.
This could be a drinking game. Like, take a shot would never be mentioned Lauryn Hill.
Honestly,
a shot of holy water.
Every episode we... Come on, gospel.
Gospel only. but yeah, the album is just so raw, literally, because just her and her guitar.
Yeah.
And I liked what she was saying in a lot of the songs. I was listening to that a lot, and I was listening to Layla Hathaway a lot too. And I was, and not even just that, but I was consuming lyrics that immersed me in my situation more than I needed to be.
Yes.
And it wasn't even necessarily about, oh, I'm hurt by this, or I'm so sad. Sometimes it was about, I can get out of this. Literally, I get out. Or sometimes it was like a reflection. I remember a long time ago, I said my current fave was That Was Then by Layla Hathaway. She was saying, mm-hmm. that was then, this is now. I'm going through changes, but I'm moving on, that kind of thing. So it wasn't even just music that was like, oh, I feel sad and I feel this, whatever. But it still wasn't helpful to me because it was very self-serving. Mm-hmm. And I felt like from my faith perspective, it was really still me relying on music that didn't really consider God too much, and therefore kind of relying on myself to get myself through the tough situation.
Yeah.
And even though I was really angry with God at that time as well, and I still can't remember some days, to be honest with you. It really started then though.
Yeah.
It was weird. I remember saying that I still had to listen to gospel for that whole month.
Right.
It's like,
right.
I had no choice but to praise God, even though I didn't even feel like it.
Yeah.
So I guess it just goes down to, I don't know, even serving God through the trials and stuff like that too, but it really does help to pay attention to those things as well.
No, 100%. And I think that's just like a sign of real maturity. Like, I remember sending you something on Instagram. It was basically talking about how some people might find God in a season of their life where that season is flowery.
Mm.
Flowers all around is beautiful. You know, the colors, everything's lovely. But then when winter comes and those flowers aren't there, how do you navigate your relationship with God then? And I think it's this willingness to not necessarily change your behaviors based on your feelings, mm-hmm. but knowing that, you know what, truth stands, whether I'm feeling like, you know, everything's going right and whether I'm not, this is something that remains true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah. But I guess that's the truth you have to hold on to. Sometimes I'm like, I trusted God back then for a reason, or I knew that God got me through this situation for a reason. I trust who I was in the past.
Yeah.
And I trust that God got her through, because nobody else was going to do that. Even her herself, she couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, sometimes I just need to, remember that and just have that sense of memory of the value of God in your life. Obviously, then yeah, He is really the only thing you need right now. And I think on that note, we should do like a faith update. I think we only did that like maybe once or twice in the past anyway.
Oh, yeah, true.
So like, where are you in your faith right now? Can you define it somehow?
So as you were going to talk, I was thinking to talk about it now. I found a new church, guys.
Oh, you did, what's it called?
It's called Grace Innovation.
Okay.
Yeah, so I joined Defilis Church.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're gonna be like, of course she joined her friend's church. It's not even like that.
Yeah.
So I heard about Grace Innovation when they started, really, because we have our friend actually that came on the pod, Manuela.
Yeah, Manuela.
She's been at Grace Innovation from the beginning. So it was a church I always knew about. But obviously at that time we were still in Uxbridge, so I never went. Then I visited last year one time. Then the second time I came, which is the day I actually decided to join, I had no intention of joining.
Yeah.
The only reason why I came was because we were coming to the studio and the studio was in the area, and I didn't have a church at the time. So I was like, oh, okay, I might as well just go to church. You know what? Let me be a good Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Go to church this Sunday.
I go to church, you know, in the area. And then I will go to the studio. So I always had the desire to look for a church. Obviously, the reason why I was looking for one, I just left uni.
Mm-hmm.
So I was back home and I needed a church for back home. And yeah, God was like, He had other plans. And He was like, today I'm going to open up a door in your heart.
Come on.
And it's so funny because like our pastor was not preaching. He basically threw the notes away.
He went off script.
He went off script.
Yeah.
And he said, today I'm going to talk to your heart. In a nutshell, he was just talking about making a decision to follow God, you know, being committed, amongst many other things. And I just felt in that time that I wanted to be committed. I wanted to find a place. I can't explain. Like, there's some things that happen that you can't really explain. I just felt like this is the place.
Yeah.
There were logical reasons why I shouldn't be here. It's so far from where I live.
It's a journey.
And I really felt like a desire to kind of work with youth. And most people in our church are kind of like in their 20s. There's not many teenagers type of thing.
Yeah.
There were like certain logical reasons. But yeah, I just felt a peace about it. I joined in December. Mm-hmm. And I've been there for like a month or so.
How are you finding it?
I'm really loving it, yeah. You know. Like, I think I'm getting used to it, finding my footing, meeting new people, all of that. And it's lovely, like when you have friends that are already there type of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like that has helped. Going back to the question you asked me about my faith journey, that has helped me so much, because that was always like the thorn in my side, feeling like I don't have a sense of like belonging and being planted in a church. Obviously, I had my uni church, but I knew that was coming to an end. There was a clock on that. It's been really nice to, I feel like that's improved my relationship with God. I think it's just made me feel good, because I've been praying about it for a long time. And I knew that obviously God wanted to plant me somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like a answer to prayer, like a confirmation of that, which is nice. And then coming into this year and choosing to kind of fast and really like take time to seek God has been absolutely amazing.
Well,
I think a lot of my areas of stumbling in faith comes from when I feel like I'm just not putting in any effort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like in our series at church, we're kind of learning about, you know, it's not just about what you do. It's about God's love and commitment to you first before you can do anything else.
Yeah.
So that really freed me, that revelation. Mm. But let me not talk too much. You go and you tell us about how your faith journey
goes. But I will say that I really like that point that he keeps going back to about God moves out of his love for you. He's not waiting for you to show love to him.
Yes.
You're a human being, darling. You're not good enough for that. It's God. Okay, and obviously no shade to you, but like, it's God himself. Yeah. He moves out of love. It's unconditional. It's unprovoked. That's what grace is. And I feel like when we focus on that, we take that pressure off ourselves. And I remember when we were doing the episode about being angry with God, we also touched on sometimes we take the blame too much. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm not doing this, because I'm not doing that. But does that mean that if you are doing that, then God should do something? Mm. It's never going to add up when it depends on you and your efforts.
Exactly. And another thing that really freed me was whenever I thought of faith, I always thought of it as something that I had to do. I had to do something. There had to be evidence of faith. Yeah. But like that revelation of faith, meaning that I get to receive what God has already made available to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. If you guys can catch that, if the listeners can catch that.
If you could just take something away.
Catch that. And that's not us. That's our pastor's revelation right there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was just amazing, because it's like, I just get to receive this thing that is already being made available. And so me fasting, me reading my word, it's all a process of me saying to God, I want to receive. I want to come into alignment.
Yeah.
That was a big aha moment.
Yeah. Aha. Aha. Okay, yeah, I like that too. And I like also one more thing that he repeats, and it's not a demeaning repetition. Mm-hmm. It's not an intimidating repetition. It's a repetition of truth, because it is the truth.
Yeah.
He moves out of his love for you. And sometimes when I remember that, I'm like, okay, it's calm. Like,
yeah.
Calm down, that kind of thing. So on a personal note, obviously, despite what I've just said, like in all honesty, I have been probably in the worst place with my faith than I've ever been before. I feel like I've already said, like, I started taking my faith seriously probably in like first or second year of uni, because that's when I started to really understand what Christianity was. I use the word Christianity so lightly because it's about a relationship, blah blah blah, whatever. But yeah, that's when I started to take it seriously, and that was literally what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, not long.
Sometimes I forget just how young in Christ I actually am. Like, obviously there's going to be some hiccups and stuff. So ever since, let's say about autumn to up until now, there's been like a slow decline in terms of how much care.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be so brutally honest, without sound. I don't want to sound disrespectful. Because I know that some people have this approach of like, we get it, but like, don't disrespect God. So I don't want to go that far.
Okay, those people need to sit down somewhere.
Take a seat and listen to this. Right. So, yeah, it started with anger. Mm-hmm. It was like the things that I was experiencing felt so spiteful and sinister, because it's like, God, you've always said that you know me. You've known me from before I was formed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know me. And if you know me, why are you letting me face things that you know I can't handle, or that I think I can't handle anyways?
Okay.
Things that I'm really sensitive towards, situations that, you know, I'm going to find it really hard to get over mentally. I'm facing these things back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying, yeah, you're strong enough. And it's like, well, I'm not. As you can see, yeah. I'm in a really bad place right now. And this was like during November, like I said, so I was doing my gospel fast. And I'd hear songs like First Love by Kirk Franklin. And I'm like,
come back to your...
That song back. It's like, I'll be there enjoying it. But I'm like, but I'm here.
Yeah.
You're telling me to come back to my first love. I feel like I'm here anyways. But I'm still going through so many like unpleasant situations. I was just angry about like, why, basically asking that question of why. And I don't want to go to this whole side of the conversation of what was quite immature to ask God why, because I'm a curious person. Yeah. Sometimes I do actually, like, I don't understand why. And the answer of his ways are not our ways is not going to cut it right now.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. I know they're not our ways, but I'm still confused. Yeah. Like,
you know, the worst one is the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Okay, yeah, I know that.
Okay,
yeah, but I'm still affected.
Yeah, of course.
It's interesting because when you think of Bible verses, they are supposed to be applied to our lives, but sometimes they feel so far from our truth, even though we believe in them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I lost someone, for example, and then someone says, oh, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Like, I get it, but it actually feels a lot more generic.
It feels cold.
It feels so cold, and like it lacks warmth, you know? So all of those responses that I could have gotten, like, oh, it's normal to be angry, or God's ways are not our ways, or you can't apply logic to God, they just made me even more angry.
Okay.
And I started to feel really restricted. I started to question why or how I was supposed to feel freedom inside Christ. Mm. It felt so contradictory.
Mm.
I was like, how do you find freedom inside something?
Mm.
And it's something I'd been saying for so long, but I'd never really deeped how many Christian phrases I say without actually deeping what they were actually saying.
Yeah.
So freedom in Christ made sense to me this time last year, but now I actually don't think I understand it anymore. And that regression is quite perplexing to me. Like, how can it make sense back then, but now it doesn't make sense anymore?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this anger now suddenly transforms into apathy. Basically not caring about anything.
Okay.
Letting go of everything. Okay.
It is what it is.
I said it is what it is.
Yeah.
As in, I literally let go of God. Like, I don't even know if I told you properly, but it's like, I was like, I'm done.
Okay.
You know, you're done. I was like, God, you're done. I literally was like, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do what I want. But I couldn't help praying in the morning. I still said, thank you, Jesus. I was still saying a cheeky prayer here and there, like impulsively, almost like it's so woven into my way of life that I don't know how to live any other way. But I was okay with that, because to me it was like, at least I haven't lost my belief. Like, I've walked away from God to the best of my ability, but I'm still praying in the morning.
Yeah.
And then that led to me thinking, I feel so trapped. I feel like I can't ever escape this. I've never known a life outside of a belief in God. And even though I don't want to stop, and even though I don't think I ever will stop, I do kind of wonder whether this is all just socialized, or whether, like, and sometimes I think, but you can't be that reductive, because it's faith. It's not about society. It's about the truth. It's about a spiritual revelation.
Yeah, yeah.
But for it to sometimes feel like, oh, it's just because you were raised in the church that you literally can't help but pray. It's like, that also made a bit of sense to me too.
Yeah.
So the one line that was in my head a lot was that I let go of God, but God didn't let go of me. Like, aww. I literally, you know, a little love story. Because like, I've been going to church, even if I arrive at 12:59.
He is holding you by the neck. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna hold on to you now.
He's like, that, to the point where like there were people that I was
59. By the way, guys, our church is at 1.
It was so bad, to the point where I would literally like seek out relationships and seek out people that you could say weren't good for me, or situations that weren't good for me, and they wouldn't even turn out the way I wanted them to.
Yeah.
They would end, and I'd end up with God again. was like,
not you again.
Not you. Not this. Like, leave me alone, that kind of thing. And I think the frustration with it was that, okay, you keep leading me back to you. But every time I'm with you, I have all of these questions and I have all of this confusion and I just don't feel like there's any clarity that I'm receiving. It's like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like you going out to a party or whatever all late and then mom says come home, you come home and she just airs you when you get home, but not because she's angry, because she's just not talking to you. And you're home for like the next 2 days and she doesn't even come out of her room, and she told you to come home because she needs to see you. She didn't even say hi. So you're just in the house, so you're like, okay, I'm gonna go back out then.
Yeah,
but every time you go out, your friends say, no, go home, see your mum. Even your friends don't believe that your mum even exists.
They're like, you better go home to your mum.
And then you get home, mum doesn't even say hi.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, that's confusing.
Yeah.
So I know I've been speaking for quite long, but after that, I've started to, during this whole thing, I've started to see my faith very objectively. And being able to transition from being in this Christian bubble, not in a bad way, but like, being in church, understanding a message, worshiping in spirit and in truth, just dare I say, just being the Christian you're meant to be, just for the sake of saying that, being able to transition from that and doing that in truth to seeing your faith objectively and seeing it as something you choose to participate in and something you choose to believe in. And that transition happening during a sermon, it's very scary. Yeah. It's like you go, literally 1 second you're believing everything, the next second you're like, that only makes sense in this context.
Okay.
Someone will say, yeah, but you can't apply logic, but that argument just wasn't sufficient for me anymore. So I'm just, it's like, okay, but
I'm not cutting it anymore.
So that's where I am now. I'm literally leaving the way I've told that is such a mess, because even right now I still feel quite muddled in my head. I'm still trying to go to church. I'm still trying to pray. I'm still trying to make this connection again and like bear fruit like I want to be, so that I'm not confused anymore. Basically, I'm trying to be either hot or cold, and I'm finding a bit too much comfort in being lukewarm, and that's dangerous, right?
You know what? Like, obviously, I've had so many conversations like this with loads of friends. Some of them, some of them end up not being Christians anymore. Oh, yeah, some of them are Christians. Some people are just in this limbo, and it seems to often boil down to this point of I don't want to be lukewarm, hot or cold. I remember literally having this conversation with someone, and they were like, "Yeah, I was just tired of being lukewarm." So I decided to be cold. And I think, like, obviously, like, everything you said, I obviously don't have the answers at all. Like, even listening to you, I'm just like, oh my God, this is a lot. Like,
it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. And even people, like, out there that have friends that maybe are going through the same thing, sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, I need to have the right thing to say. But I think, like, just going off of what you're saying in terms of times in which, because I remember going through a time where, I was going to say season, I'm tired of Christians saying that. It's so annoying. A time where I was so frustrated because I had this complete lack of clarity. First of all, I felt like an outsider. I just felt like I just wasn't, okay, I was a Christian, but I felt like I was an outsider. First of all, I feel like I was planted anywhere. Obviously had the campus TRF community, but outside of that, I didn't really have. So I felt like I had a lot of questions and a lot of lack of clarity. And for me, what really got me out of there was just being okay with not having the answer. And I think I've spoken about this on the pod, and I know for a lot of people that's not enough. They feel like that frustrates them. They just can't do that. But for me, in some way, I was okay with that, because I remember listening to a Jonathan McReynolds song, and it said, what I lack, you are full of. Mm-hmm. And where I'm broken, you are whole. And what I'm doubting, you are sure of.
Oh, yeah.
I was so, like, I was in this state of just brokenness. I don't know how the song came on. I don't know if I played it or whatever. But it was just like, oh, my God, like, what I'm doubting, like, you are sure of. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to this thing of, okay, if I know that my relationship with God and my Christianity is the truth, let's take everything away. If I believe this is the truth, then it's my duty to fight for the truth. If I think there's value attached to this, I have to work with God and work out of this maze that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I'm really happy about is I don't think it's healthy to run away from these questions or to run away from feelings and be like, oh, you know what? Right now, I just don't care. Like, because once you're able to work through that and God is able to help you either change perspective or find answers to your questions or whatever it is, you're able to help other people or be there for other people, mm-hmm. and able to grow with God as well in your own relationship. So yeah. I think it's good to be honest with yourself about how you're feeling. I think people are like just silent leavers. Like they'll just be quiet about it, and then before you know it, they're like, yeah, so it's not really for me anymore.
Yeah.
But when you said that you feel like sometimes you don't feel freedom in Christ, you kind of feel like almost restricted.
Yeah, it's a bit of a scary one, isn't it?
It's so weird because I don't know if it's the same, but for me, I felt as though like I was very scared of changing. Mm. So that's how I felt restricted. I felt like it's almost suffocating because I felt like I had to, in my mind, I had to be this certain type of Christian. Let me call that Christian the perfect Christian, yeah?
Yeah.
So that was making me feel suffocated because I knew I couldn't do it and I didn't even want to do it. It seemed boring. It just didn't seem like I didn't have a desire to be that way.
Yeah.
And then I remember... can't remember if I've said this on the, anyway, guys, you know, if I've said it before, I've said it before.
Yeah.
I remember being in service somewhere, a different church, and I was really scared. And this girl was like speaking to me and she was like, God is not trying to change who you are. He's trying to make you be who you are. And then I think when I went back home and I thought about it, I thought to myself that like my real self, who I'm supposed to be, you know how we're always looking for purpose, fulfillment, all these things, that is in Christ. So everything else outside of that is just like, it sounds weird to say, but it's never going to live up to who I actually am supposed to be. And that is within Christ. And I feel like when I had that, when I understood that, that made me feel free because it made me feel like I was my most authentic self in Christ because he's the one that made me.
So what do you mean when you say in Christ? Like, how do you define that?
I think like in just being in relationship with him, living for him, that's me being in him.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're seeing it as being in this Christian bubble of oppression.
oppression.
But I feel like when you say being in Christ, you feel like being in the Christian bubble.
Yeah. It felt like, or it feels like, I guess I can kind of go back to God is the one thing that remains. You know that song, One Thing Remains? For me,
love never gives up.
Like, the one thing that remains is God. I always, always say, I have never doubted God's existence. I've only ever wished that he didn't exist when I was younger so that I could do things without feeling bad.
Yeah.
And I still feel like that, not because of the guilt thing. I've never disputed that. Now, whether that's down to the way I was raised or where I've been socialized, I don't care. I feel God in my heart, right? That's the one thing that remains. Being around other Christians, don't care. Reading the Bible, don't care. Fasting, don't care. Literally everything I'm quote unquote supposed to do, because there's been a spiritual transition in my life and God is governing my lifestyle. Not because I have to do it because it's the rules, but because I'm inclined to do it because of the spirit that is now within me, which is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All of those things,
yes,
that I would naturally be inclined to do because the word has said that's what happens. It's a transformation, renewal of the mind. Mm. That stuff does not interest me. And it's not happening. I'm not going out of my way. Like, I don't want to be surrounded by Christians. I don't want to read the Bible.
Okay.
But I still believe in God.
Right.
Sometimes I just boil it down to John 3:16. They say, whoever believes, right? I'm like, I believe. That's all I need. That's all I need, right? That belief.
Yeah.
So it's like, so why has that belief suddenly stopped bearing fruit in my life? Like, I heard that I'm supposed to want to be in this church right now.
Right.
So the fact that I don't want to be here, I don't want to say that it's because the spirit has left, because I know it doesn't leave. I don't want to say it's because I don't believe anymore, because I do still believe. But where did that disconnect come from?
Right.
Okay. Where did it come from? Why is it plaguing my mind like this? And so in terms of the whole freedom in Christ thing, it's like, the few things that I've just listed, like reading the Bible, fellowshipping with believers and things like that too, they are the things that I should feel freedom around, right?
Mm.
I guess maybe not directly, but it's like, it's the things that our faith kind of entails, the things that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom just doesn't feel like anything that I possess right now. It doesn't feel like freedom to me. It feels like things I know I should do. And I know that it's not that, it's not a chore. It is it's an inclination.
Yeah.
But me doing it isn't an inclination, and doing it because I feel like that's what I should be doing. Okay. I want to do it naturally again. I want to read the Bible. I want to want to be around Christians. I want to pray. Okay. And I do still pray, but it's more like it's so conversational at this point. I wonder if it really is praying. Am I even praying?
No,
anymore?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have that too.
Yeah.
Or like praying for things. A lot of my prayers have been very selfish recently. Like every morning I'm like, God help me.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
I think it sounds like a desire issue. It sounds like you wanting to desire these things that you view are the fruits of being a Christian or the fruits of being close to God. And I also think that I feel like you shouldn't be too hard on yourself. And I think you are being too hard on yourself.
You're like the fourth person that said that to me. I can't.
Honestly, I really think you're being so hard with yourself. And I think that you're viewing it as too much of a negative thing rather than a growing period or a growing pain. Mm. I think, not to be annoying, you know, people say you need to take it easy.
Take it easy.
just chill out. But yeah, I think, yeah, you need to be more forgiving to yourself. Like obviously God knows our humanity. He knows how we are. One minute we're like, we want to see Jesus lifted high. The next minute we're like, how are you going to do me like this, God? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's okay to put up with like the way we are. And you know what? Like we were saying, he moves out of his love for us. Like we could be running away. He's still grabbing onto us. So yeah, I think, yeah, I wouldn't be too, and I wouldn't see it solely as a negative thing. Yeah, I would just see it as like, yeah, this is just a growing pain. This is a stage. And I think as Christians, sometimes we don't like discomfort or suffering.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Most people in general.
And it goes back to like my thing on process. If this is the process of you getting closer to God and having revelation and understanding, and this is just an unpleasant place and process, then it will be well worth it at the end.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So not every part of process is enjoyable. And yeah, in a relationship of like, when you love someone in any form of relationship, there's always going to be an element of sacrifice, and there's always going to be an element of sometimes uncomfortability. If people are trying to say, in the healthiest relationships, actually. So
yeah. What I look forward to is definitely coming out of this. I mean, I pray to God I come out of it. That's one thing I have always feared, though. When I was younger and I was going through like really... like low, like depressive episodes, like I have been recently as well, like even now, it's this one thing that makes me sink further is this fear that I'm never going to come out of it.
Okay.
Am I going to be depressed forever? Am I ever going to be happy again? Mm. Am I ever going to, just feel anything positive again? Like, am I going to be numb forever? So I've been telling myself that it's just a phase, but I've been telling myself that for the past 3 months.
Okay.
And I didn't realize, I guess until now, hearing what you've just said, that I have definitely put a timer in it. It's so important to be patient with yourself.
Mm.
But it's like when it concerns something like this, my faith, which is ideally like my everything. I can't even say it's my everything now. I have to say ideally because it's not my everything. I wish it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I'm almost speaking it into existence, the fact that it's a phase.
Okay.
Because if it's not, it's like, where do I go?
Yeah, no.
There's nothing out there for me. That's the part. That's the worst part. Almost like, I know I belong here, but I'm here. I'm not even doing what I feel like I want to be doing, mm-hmm. what I feel like I should be doing, quote unquote. But yeah, definitely, quite a few people have said to me recently, "Oh, you need to take it easier on yourself." Like, damn, calm down. And I feel like I have been, but clearly I need to do better.
And you know what? Clearly, it means so much to you.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
It does. Yeah.
Like, even when we're talking about your passion, it means that much. Mm. There's value attached, and there's you've invested in this thing.
Mm.
So I think that says a lot in and of itself as well. Even if you do feel apathy and you feel like I don't care, a part of you cares.
I do care. I do care. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
There's definitely like a need for like a reconnect somewhere.
Do you know what I find so funny about this conversation we're having? So a while back, Adefala sent me a video of this church in Africa, and they pray like their life depends on it.
My goodness.
And thinking of like the average, let's say, African Pentecostal individual. Yeah. Let's say, I don't know. I'm going to use my country in the middle of Uganda.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this might be so naive of me, but I just... my perception of them is that they rarely go through, like, have conversations like this or go through things like this.
Of course they don't. They pray.
They just believe. And in fact, if they feel like they're not believing, they're going to pray even more than they did. Like, I feel like that fascinates me. But I think God can be glorified in both people. Like, the people that question and are like, oh, no, okay, I need answers. I need to. And the people that just don't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Like, it's just, I guess it's the approach that they have to their faith. It's like anything that threatens this certainty is brought by the devil himself.
Die.
Like, it has to go ASAP.
And you know what? Not to sound like an African auntie, but I feel like that is a component we need to acknowledge as well. That the enemy is not happy if you're thriving in your Christianity. And yeah, if you feel like your Christianity is constantly being attacked, it's because it's valuable. Mm-hmm. If I have a diamond, people are going to be coming to my house to try burgle because this thing is of value. And I think sometimes we have to, you know, bear in the back of our minds that, you know, we don't the enemy doesn't even want me to get out. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities in high places. So all of that is at play. And sometimes it becomes manifest in our, like, oh my God, I feel like I'm not getting out of this rut. The devil would love you to stay in this rut for as long as possible. Mm. And he gets a lot of people through a distraction, just no time. Mm. You see what I mean? And been reading in the New Testament, and this parable comes up in a lot. I think it came up in Matthew, Mark, I'm now in Luke, and it's the parable of the sower. And I need to get this up. I'm so sorry.
A classic parable, just right there.
Let's just do a bit of Bible study.
Imagine if we changed up the whole term of the podcast and just started like preaching, like doing sermons.
People be like, I'm checking out of this now. Okay, this is not giving me what I want. But basically, because it's had to give me another version. But basically, I think you can read it in Luke 8, and there's, you know, the other versions of the parable in other parts of the Bible. But anyway, it's the parable of the sower that everyone knows. But the one that I think is really, really applies to so many people is the people that take the word of God with joy. That's why I couldn't find it. It's basically the explanation. Jesus breaks it down for us, and I'm reading the actual... I was reading the actual part where he said it. Here it goes. Okay. So the seeds on the rocky soil. So this is Luke 8 verse 13. And Jesus is explaining the parable. Mm-hmm. So he says that the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Like so many of us, we get saved. We're so happy. Lovely stuff. But since they don't have deep roots, which might just be that you kind of just started your faith journey, or there's certain revelations that you maybe don't have, or there's certain things you haven't yet understood. Mm. They believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. And then another one says, the seeds that fell upon among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. Mm. And I think, yeah, that just represents so many people. Like it's basically a struggle. Like you're going through this struggle, and sometimes when your roots are not deep, or when you haven't understood certain things, like life can just be getting you. And sometimes we like to break things into categories of, oh, God has done this, or the enemy. Sometimes life be life, and because we live in a fallen world.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just life.
Just life doing its job.
Life doing its job. But to our listeners out here, we believe this is you.
Come on.
You know, and the seed, verse 15, and the seed that fell on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest.
Yeah, that's so profound. I love how you can just go back to these simple parables. Parables that we've been reading since we were literally in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And they applied to our lives somehow back then, whatever we were going through in school as seven-year-olds.
Yeah.
And now... 18 years later, it's still hitting the spot.
In it.
I will say though that the second verse did kind of scare me just now. Because maybe, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is one thing we're doing in church right now, like being mature. And I'm panicking because I feel like everyone is going ahead to do what they're meant to be doing, but I just like, I'm not ready.
Right.
I feel like someone's saying, okay, time to be mature. And I'm like, oh, but I don't even know. Like,
I'm not ready.
I'm not even ready. Like, I just, dare I say, I don't feel like I'm in a place where I could be committed or where I can be mature. I feel like there's still so much rubbish happening behind the scenes that trying to be mature is already a failed mission. At the same time, maybe this is like a growing pain. Like you said, I do agree it's a growing pain, but maybe it's a growing pain into maturity.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm trying too hard to define whether it's me not being ready to be mature, if that's even possible, or whether it's a growing pain that really just means you need to mature. And even though it's intimidating and scary, In fact, well, because it's intimidating and scary, that's an indicator that it's what you need.
Yeah, and even this process you're in is in a way a process of maturity. You could have checked out time ago.
No, I mean, I did. I tried. I did my best. God said, come back.
He said, come back. So, yeah, I feel like you're in it.
Ugh, in it to win it, though, right?
Come on.
I'm going to win it. Oh, my gosh.
That's how we've been, guys.
Yeah, so how have you guys been last night?
Let us know how you've been. Oh, wow. I'm just trying to think of a weird mundane. So, yeah, we haven't spoken to our lovely listeners since December.
Yeah, we haven't.
Christmas was good. Just spent it with family. New Year's was like one of the most boring New Year's. It wasn't really eventful. I went to dinner with a friend and then had service online.
Oh, okay.
How about you?
What did I do? I went into church in person. Same building.
Yes.
Same building I'm always in every single year of my life. Went there. And yeah, that was basically it. I think I said it before, though. I always have this fear, New Year's Day, that the world's going to end.
Yeah.
It's the prayers, man. Like the power that the prayers I prayed with. And oh my gosh, so a day before New Year's Eve, so the 30th, our friend took us to this church. Oh, took me to this church.
Yeah.
And he took Joyce there like a few weeks before. And this was the 30th. So it wasn't even watch night service. But the way they were praying. Oh, that was another thing that made me feel my feelings about my faith.
Yeah.
I just felt like I wasn't good enough. I was like, if there was a prayer competition right now, I would lose in a heartbeat.
Who's going to pray the loudest?
Who's going to pray the loudest? Who's going to jump the highest? Who's going to shake their head the most? Who's going to expel the most saliva with passion?
Oh my gosh.
Like the way they were praying. Those situations made me feel like my prayers just aren't good enough. Like, nah, they can't compete. Not they have to compete, but like.
Yeah.
Like if people are praying like that for what they need from God,
they're gonna see Jesus for real, for real.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going, that kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, that was interesting to be in the atmosphere and that like intense, spirit-filled, loud atmosphere, and like kind of reminiscent of what I was in growing up and don't see as much now of the church that I go to. Obviously, we still pray in that. It's not like fire prayer and stuff like that.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something a bit nostalgic for that for me now.
Yeah.
I'm not around that as much as, I used to. But I think one thing that about stuff like that, that really helped me out and just with different ministries in general is the importance of finding your tribe.
Yeah.
And, that doesn't necessarily mean a tribe is a denomination. Within denominations, you need to find your tribe. You need to find what works for you, your style. Mm. And I used to feel like, I guess it was a bit of a judgmental thing, something that I couldn't understand or wasn't for me or wasn't my tribe. I felt like maybe it wasn't the right way to do things or the right way to be a Christian. Mm. But now I think God has really taught me to love people from different tribes, let me say.
For sure.
Yeah, they might be different. They might do things a bit, in a different way than you would. But God is still being glorified there. God is still using people there. People are coming to the knowledge of Christ. People are being discipled. They're growing. The church is expanding. But they just belong to a different tribe.
Mm. And I feel like that can also relate to, let's just say the African, or to be generic, that African Pentecostal approach to our faith as well. I remember my sister said to me a few weeks ago, we're having a conversation similar to this, and she was speaking about Chinua Achebe, which is this Nigerian author, you know him, the one that wrote Things Fall Apart.
Yeah.
It's either him or his dad that said this, or maybe he said that his dad said this, about when missionaries came to Nigeria. So obviously white people came to Nigeria, planting their churches, and they were like sitting down and just like just like saying words basically to worship God, being so like, dare I say, dead and like no life whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you're here in this church worshiping and it's just so mundane. And I think his dad was like, how are you like worshiping God, or how are you worshiping, let's say, a deity with such little passion? And sometimes I realize that this African Pentecostal approach to Christianity, like with these fire prayers and all of this passion, is very much linked to how they interacted with all of the faves that they had before.
It's just literally a transferal.
It's a transferal, like it's like Christian but African or this, but like it's still,
yeah,
there's never gonna not be an influence of the past or of history on how we interact with the present.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that's why I was like, it's fine. In fact, I'm even happy that they do it like this, because I would hate for them to do it the exact same way that the white man does it.
Right, yeah.
Let's put some passion in there.
Come on.
Like, let's add some spice to that. That's some passion to that. Yeah. So yeah, even though it can be like, oh, I can't worship like my mom does, it's like, that's fine, you were raised in the West, she wasn't, so there's gonna be a difference anyway. Or like, yeah, kind of. But yeah, I do appreciate it a lot more from that perspective.
Yeah, 100%. I do too. Our favorite segment.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite segment, faves of the week. I've got a fave of the week this week.
What is it?
So Jackie Hill Perry and Perry Preston.
Yeah.
Preston Perry.
I even said, yeah, like you said his name. Right.
No, that was wrong. They have this thing called Just Worship, where they like have like artists coming in. I think it used to be an event, but because of COVID, they just streamed it online.
Mm.
And so I watched it online, but now it's on Spotify. So they made an album out of it.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lovely song called, let me find it. I'm on the wrong song, which I just listened to, which was good as well. But it is called Jesus Medley.
Jesus Medley.
By Jordan Welch. She's singing in it and it's absolutely beautiful. Oh. It's on Spotify, Just Worship, Jesus Medley. Check it out, guys.
Are they live performances or?
Yeah, it's live.
Okay.
It's really nice.
I'll listen to that actually. What's my current fave? Oh, so I kind of, despite having a podcast myself,
yeah,
I don't listen to podcasts as much as I used to. I kind of have phases where I listen to them lots, some I don't listen to them at all. But there's this one podcast I've been listening to called, what's the name? I think it's called Homegoing with Dr. Tema, like T-H-E-M-A. So she's like this American, this black American, African-American, black American, whatever, you know what they say. Yeah. Anyway, she's like a therapist basically. And she's got a podcast and she does different episodes and like just different things that you'd probably like tackle in therapy.
Okay.
Which is something that I could definitely use right now. Obviously I can't afford it, so this is my substitute. And then she does say at the beginning of every episode, like, this is not a substitute for therapy. I'm like, yeah, girl, okay. I get it. But when I get money,
I'm going to use it, though.
I'm going to use it. So it's like, she does so many different episodes. For example, coping with burnout or aging well or unhealthy attention seeking, increasing accountability, becoming more emotionally available. And she'll speak for like a good half an hour and like really dissect just the topic itself as if she's basically talking to you and helping you to get through this. Now, I can't relate to all of the things that she's covered because, you know, I just... how could I?
Yeah.
But the things that I can relate to, they've been so, 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 so helpful. And I feel like if you're somebody that wants to be a bit more introspective and you want to, I don't know, say journal more, or you want to find out more about yourself, this podcast is really good because she also just kind of says prompts every now and then, or she just drops the most amazing bars that I stay writing down.
Nice.
Just kind of helped me just see my situation that I've chosen from like a better perspective. So yeah, it's called Homegoing. Let me make sure that I said the right thing.
Homegoing.
The home, sorry, no, it's not. See, it's the Homecoming podcast with Dr. Tema. But we'll put it in the bio anyway, so you guys can listen to that.
All right then, guys. It's been lovely to talk to you guys again.
Hasn't it?
Ah, always a pleasure.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Wow.
We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us.
I always said you and I. It's just the two
of us. I don't even know. But yeah, it's been nice to catch up with you guys. We are now back. We are now better. We are now consistent. And many episodes to come. Hopefully more guests this year too.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that as well. But yeah, we hope you guys have enjoyed episode 37. I think it's 37.
Let's hope. I have
been Adefala.
And it's been your girl Joyce.
Bye.
Bye.